Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Dodger Stadium. Our phone number is 866-987-2570. The San Francisco Giants take game one of this four-game series by a final score of 3-2. Kenta Maeda takes the loss. He is now 7-4 after going just five innings tonight. Gave up only two runs. It was a two-run double to Brandon Crawford in the top of the second inning. He had four strikeouts and two walks. The Dodgers just had no answer for Giants starter Tyler Beede out of Vanderbilt. He went six innings, gave up just one earned run, which was a solo home run to Max Muncy. He did walk five Dodgers, so he was not as sharp as you would think, considering he only gave up one run in six innings. And he also had seven strikeouts, and he wins his first ever Major League game. So congratulations to Tyler Beede. Will Smith came in for the final three outs, his 19th save of the season. Now, you know, I just mentioned Tyler Beede walked five Dodgers, but, you know, the Dodgers are in the middle of 18 straight games. So you can't blame Dave Roberts of thinking about the long view, giving Justin Turner the night off. Justin came on as a pinch hitter later in the game, but no qualms about giving Justin the day off to get him off his feet. Let's not forget, he's had the hamstring issue. He's fouled a ball off his shin, not to mention, you know, just the normal wears and tears and the maintenance he has during a 162-game season. But without Turner and without Corey Seager, who's on the injured list, this starting lineup tonight really did not have much punch outside of Bellinger and Muncy. Now, Verdugo has started to get things going in the right direction in the last four games, but outside of those three guys, not too many guys are swinging the bat really well in the starting lineup tonight. Joc Pederson came into the game 0 for his last 26. He got an infield single in the fifth inning, and then he grounded out to second base in his next at-bat. So Joc is in a big-time slump, 1 for his last 30. Then you have Austin Barnes, who's catching tonight in the eighth spot. He is just 1 for 19 since coming off the injured list, but I will say this, in his last three or four at-bats, he has started to drive the ball better, so hopefully he could get back on track and swing the bat the way he was and showing some signs before he had that unfortunate groin injury, which put him on the shelf for 10 days. And then you have Kike Hernandez, who takes a step forward and two steps back, struck out two more times tonight. He's hitting just .170. Since May 1st. So the Dodgers are counting on Kike to find his way out of this and play really good defense, which he has for the most part. Kike's now hitting .213 on the season, and after tonight, he's hitting .210 on the season, and his OPS, everybody wants to look at OPS to evaluate players these days, his OPS is .652. So Kike's in a big-time slump. My point being is, yeah, Tyler Beede may not be Roger Clemens or Clayton Kershaw, but with this lineup tonight, considering where they are in this time and space, there wasn't too many hits that you were going to get out of this lineup. They were going to have to scratch and make no mistakes, and the Dodgers made some mistakes, or made one big mistake in that inning where Chris Taylor threw the ball away, and that was in the sixth inning when Pablo Sandoval scored the Giants' third run, an insurance run, on what was going to be a 3-6-1 or a 3-6-3 double play. But Taylor and Beede did not get on the same page. Beede is not a first baseman. You could see he's very unsure of himself over there. The Dodgers have him in there for his bat, for sure. And he made a nice play to make the throw to get the lead runner at second base. And then on the return throw, Chris Taylor more than likely should have just pocketed that baseball because there was miscommunication between Julio Urias and Matt Beede, and nobody was at first base. So you just pocket that baseball in that situation. And that was the first error Taylor had that was his first error in four different positions all season long. So he's a guy that is very dependable at shortstop as well. That's his normal position because he played it in college at Virginia. So he's pretty sure-handed over there. It was just one of those plays. And I guess you could say it cost the Dodgers, especially like I mentioned, the offense. You're not going to find too much. You want to try to give them an opportunity to get Bellinger and Muncy up there again. And that would have been a tied game after the Dodgers scored Bellinger In the eighth inning after he led off that inning with the double. So that insurance run proved to be basically the difference in the game tonight. 866-987-2570 coming up a little bit later in the show. You will hear my I gave you my theory last night on Julio Urias' spot starting tomorrow, which obviously is not going to happen after he came in as a relief pitcher tonight and only threw 26 pitches in one inning. I'll just give it to you now. I thought he was going to start tomorrow for Kershaw to give Kershaw an extra day's rest, considering 9 of Kershaw's 11 starts this season have come with extra rest. And Dave Roberts did hint on Sunday afternoon that the Dodgers will use Julio Urias to spot start at least for the first 3 or 4 innings of a game in the upcoming week here, because the Dodgers are in a stretch of playing 18 consecutive games. So it obviously is not going to be tomorrow, but it very well may be Thursday. I'm feeling like Thursday is that day. Walker Buehler is scheduled to start the finale against Madison Bumgarner, and I feel like the Dodgers will use Urias on Thursday and Stripling on Thursday to try to combine a start there and create an artificial or an extra day's rest for the rest of the starting five, because the Dodgers have done a great job of doing that, not just this year, but in years past since Andrew Friedman took over. So look for Thursday to be that day. 26 pitches in one inning is nothing for Julio. That would have been what he would throw in a bullpen session. So look for Thursday to be that day. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to the phones. Let's go out to Ned in Pasadena. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Ned.
Hey, David. I would agree with you about the offense. You know, you just didn't have – you had too many guys stripped out of the lineup. With, you know, that unfortunate injury to Seager, and that you got to give Turner some time off. So you look at it, and, you know, half of your regular infield isn't in there, and you've got a novice at first base, which brings me to my real second point. And I don't remember whether Dave Roberts made this point a couple years ago, or maybe it was Don Mattingly who was saying, let's get our best defensive club on the field. Obviously, you have to make some trade-offs to get bats into the lineup, but there are times when you can make a switch at the end of the game to get a really good defender in there at first base, like Cody Bellinger. Yesterday's game, that could have been a win for Ryu, but it was not. There was an error charge, uncharacteristically, to Turner on a ball that Bellinger would have caught on one hop for an out. And David Fries couldn't handle it. It was a pretty, at least from the replay, it looked like a pretty simple bounce. Stuff like
yeah,
Kike Hernandez,
I'm with you, Ned, on that.
First base before, and people just pick up.
Yeah, and I'm on. Hold on with that one, Ned. I'm with you on that. Cody's a Gold Glove first baseman. He's, like Alex Rodriguez told me after the game tonight, a Platinum Glove right fielder. So he can't play everywhere, and Cody Bellinger, actually, if you want to look at the advanced metrics or stats out there, he has saved more runs in the outfield than any other player in baseball. So he can only play one position, and the Dodgers, and Cody really has said this as well, that he's comfortable playing right field and knowing he's going to play there every day instead of switching back and forth. And remember when he popped out his shoulder at the end of April, Ned? Do you remember that?
Of course, yeah, that was a bad deal.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason why he doesn't play first base. They're trying to protect his shoulder as well.
Well, he's going to make diving plays in the outfield as well, you know. So, I mean,
but it's going to be far and few between compared to playing first base. I understand what you're saying. Try to get your best defense in there at the end of the game. And David Fries has handled first base more than Matt Beatty has. So the Dodgers were able to double switch Fries in there for the ninth inning, but it was too little too late at that point in time. And you're trailing in the sixth inning, so you still want Beatty's bat in there. So I would say if you're counting on Beatty to do some damage, but you know that Bruce Bochy has Tony Watson coming in there, tough spot. But I understand what you're saying. Get your best defense in there late in the game, especially if you have a lead. Let's go out to Dave in L.A. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up, man? You kind of touched on a little bit of what I was going to mention. But with the struggles that Maeda has been having, do you think there's a chance that they might go to Stripling to kind of be the starter in his place?
I don't think so. I know Maeda has not looked his best the last couple of times out, but really tonight he didn't get much run support, Dave. So I don't know if you could blame him. It's not going to be a shutout every night. I know we're getting spoiled by every other starter in the rotation, but it's not going to be that way, and it's not like that across baseball. So I think you have to hang in there with Maeda because he doesn't really embrace the bullpen role until the postseason.
Gotcha, right.
All right, Dave, thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570, 866-987-2570. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. Plus, Alex Rodriguez was in the house the last two nights here at Dodger Stadium, and I want to share the story that he shared with me during the World Series last year, taking us back to the draft of 92 when the Dodgers had an opportunity to make Alex Rodriguez a Dodger. We'll share that story with you again, so don't go anywhere. We're with you until the bottom of the hour. David Vasquez, say live at Dodger Stadium on Dodger Talk. Giants beat the Dodgers 3-2 on AM 570 LA Sports.
Three balls and one strike. Beatty delivers, and Muncy with a fly ball to right. It's on its way, and Max Muncy has just hit his 17th. Nowhere near the ocean, but a pretty prodigious wallop.
Max Muncy with a solo home run tonight, his 17th of the season, in the bottom of the second inning to cut the Giants' lead to 2-1. But it wasn't meant to be tonight for the Dodgers as they fall to the Giants 3-2. This is Dodger Talk, David Vasse, live at Dodger Stadium, with you until the bottom of the hour. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, and we would like to congratulate Betsy Myers of Beverly Hills, who correctly predicted the Dodgers would hit one home run tonight. Betsy receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card. Go to am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to play. 866-987-2570. Let's head out to the Sportsnet LA studios. That's where Jerry Hairston Jr. is. And Jerry, tonight, you know, you talk about one-run games and what will win you a one-run game and what will lose you a one-run game. And I felt like the key play of the night was the throwing error by Chris Taylor in the sixth inning, allowing the Giants to score a third insurance run. And I know Alex Rodriguez was telling me after the game, Jerry, that you just got to pocket that baseball if you're Chris Taylor. What did you see on that play?
Well, I agree with Alex, and me and Nomar were talking about this, and John, we're talking about it on the post game show during the break. And you know, my rule of thumb was if it was going to be bang bang, if I'm at shortstop, I better be sure that first baseman that threw me the ball and he's going back is a very agile first baseman. Whether it's Derek Lee, I played with David Segui, was a great defender at first base, guy that was athletic around the back. So if there was some chaos there, he could maybe dive and make the play and maybe not get the out, but at least keep that guy who's going to third from scoring. You know, you don't want to throw the ball unless you are very sure of that first baseman. And I know Chris Taylor hasn't worked with Beattie a whole lot, and there are some miscommunications there. And I think Beattie will learn from this. You know, you got to remember, he's only been up here a few weeks. The first baseman, once you throw to second and you have a chance to cover the back, you have to signal to the pitcher, get out of the way, get out of the way, I'm going to cover. Because Urias was there, he was thinking, okay, he's getting there to first because that's his job. But if the first baseman calls me off, I'm going to get out of the way and let the first baseman take it. You know, it just happens. You know, it's a human error. And then Chris Taylor was just trying to make a play, and it just didn't happen tonight.
Yeah, Matt Beatty seems a little unsure of himself. He was working with Dino Ebel yesterday at first base, so still getting comfortable over there. The Dodgers, you know, right now, Jerry, I would say they're kind of thin offensively, having to use Matt Beatty and Kyle Garlick. If you look at this lineup, I mentioned this earlier, right now in this time and space, basically Verdugo, Bellinger, and Muncy in tonight's starting lineups are the only ones that are swinging the bat decently. Taylor has come up big with runners in scoring position this year, hitting .325, but outside of that, overall, he's hitting .220. You got Jock Peterson, who's one for his last 30. You got Austin Barnes, who has won for his last 19 after coming off the injured list. And you have a struggling Kike Hernandez since the beginning of May. When you're a Dodger team that is only averaging 4 runs per game since the beginning of June, Jerry, how do you create some runs and set up Bellinger and Muncy to have the best amount of success, especially in a lineup without Justin Turner tonight?
Well, you have to try to continue, if you're Dave Roberts, if you're the entire hitting staff, is try to, you know, relay confidence to to Kiki Hernandez, Chris Taylor, Austin Barnes, guys that are struggling, Jock Peterson, you're going to know, and these guys have been through this before, you've had your ups and downs throughout your careers, and you have to find a way to fight through it. You know, if you're Kiki Hernandez and Chris Taylor, you know that the next month or so, you guys are the ones that are going to be getting a lot of the bats because Corey Seager is out with a hamstring injury. So you can kind of take a deep breath and figure out ways to kind of have better passes at the baseball. I know sometimes when you're struggling, you're trying to get four hits a night, you know, and I think what you have to do is really understand, you know what, I'm going to get a lot of at bats here. I don't need to get four hits a night. Just have four good swings. I'm going to take four good swings, four good at bats, and then the results will be there. When you start thinking about getting hits and chasing hits, that's when the slumps really start to compound itself. So hopefully they kind of press the reset button because we need them.
Yeah, and right now they need to reset the whatever button you want to hit. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Danny in L.A. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse and Jerry Hairston Jr. Hi, Danny.
Thank you for taking my call, David. This is very quick. The only thing I'm concerned about, like you guys said, I know Jock is struggling, but then you have Taylor and Kiki Hernandez hitting back-to-back, striking out as much as they are now lately. I've been seeing them, not only this, them two, but yesterday with Russell Martin, before he got that hit, but he struck out those three times by going of like 3 feet
there's
up.
There's just nobody else, Danny. Danny, there's just nobody else. Without Seager, you're forced to play Taylor and Hernandez basically every night, so there's just nobody else at this point in time. Let's go out to Bill in Irvine. You're on Dodger Talk with Jerry and David. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. This is my question. I realize that Peterson has a good OBS and he's got a good amount of home runs, but the fact that and they're shorthanded too, of course, the fact that they had a pinch hit for him brings up the question, could they use between second base and left field? I know you can't have, except for catcher, it's hard to have everybody play every day in a lineup. It's not always that easy to do, but is there perhaps something, I know center field is solid because they'll have Pollock back and Verdugo's doing a great job playing just about every day, but do you think they still need something to tweak between second base and left field if there's something available down the line right-handed? Could they get a little bit of little stronger that way and perhaps less platoon? And also the average against some of these pitchers might go up. Like, I know you have to be a great pitcher to pitch in the major leagues, but tonight's starter and Pomerantz aren't exactly world beaters, you know, the last two series. What do you think of that?
All right, Bill, thanks for the phone call. Well, Beatty tonight, Jerry, was doing a great job with his off-speed pitches. His curveball and his changeup seemed to be really playing well for him tonight, and that was kind of what the swing and misses were on. And as far as adding another bat to this lineup, you might call me crazy, Jerry, but that wouldn't be a bad idea before July 31st to help you down the stretch and in the postseason. A hitter, and not just another guy, but a guy that can hit good pitching going into the postseason, because I know everybody focuses on the pitching and the shortcomings of the pitching in the last two World Series, but the offense as a group has only hit about 200 or 220 in the last two World Series. So if there is something that presents itself, I wouldn't be against it, and I'm not sure if the Nationals are going to sell off Anthony Rendon if they fall out of that race even more, but I definitely believe Andrew Friedman will be keeping his finger on the pulse of that.
Yeah, well, if Anthony Rendon comes available, you definitely have to visit that. He's definitely a game-changer type hitter, but I have a feeling the Nats are going to try to extend him. But if it doesn't happen, you know, maybe he's one of those guys where he could be a rental if you decide to go that route, and then they can try to re-sign him after the season. But, you know, just to get back to our guys, you got to understand that, you know, Kiki Hernandez has done it before. CT3 has done it before. Austin Barnes 2 years ago really swung the bat well. I think sometimes, you know, it's a fine line of trying too hard and obviously not trying at all. You have to find that comfort zone in the middle. And I think these guys, you know, get to a point where, you know, they're looking – to do damage sometimes. And I understand guys want to put up numbers in this league, and you got to get paid, but, you know, you want to play. In order for Dave Roberts to keep running you out there, you got to figure out a way to get hits. I mean, this is not YMCA. This is not, obviously,
Shoe Park
Community College. You know what I'm saying? You have to produce, you know. And, you know, Dave's trying to find that combination. You know, there's nothing wrong with hitting 260, 270, and then running into 10, 12 home runs a year. I mean, you do that in today's game, you could make a boatload of money, you know, especially for your CT3 or Kike Hernandez, you know. You know, forget about the long ball, and especially with the two strikes, man, hit a hard ground ball past the second baseman up the middle and get your hits, because, you know, that those guys are talented enough to do that.
The good news is Corey Seager, I was talking to people close to him today, they're confident that he'll be back after the All-Star game. And A.J. Pollock more than likely will be back after the All-Star game. And I'm not talking about 2 weeks after the All-Star game. I'm talking about right out of the gates. It's looking like for Pollock and for Seager. So within the week or two after the All-Star break, the Dodgers will have both those guys back in their lineup. So they are going to get some reinforcements back. And the All-Star break is only a couple of weeks away. And you could vote for your Dodgers online to make the All-Star team at Dodgers.com/vote. A guy that made the All-Star team many times in his career is who I believe should be in the Hall of Fame one day, is Jerry's teammate Alex Rodriguez. And he was at Dodger Stadium the last couple of nights broadcasting for the Evil Four Letter, and I had a chance to ask him about how he almost became a Dodger, Jerry, and here's the story.
Alex, a lot of people don't realize that you were almost a Dodger. I think about this all the time. If baseball would do things like every other sport, the Dodgers would have had the number one pick after 1992, but the Mariners did. Did you ever think there was a chance you would have been a Dodger back in 92?
I visualized it. I saw it. They had the number two pick, and they ended up selecting Darren Dreyfuss from Wichita State. I was picked number one by Roger Youngwood and the Seattle Mariners. He also drafted Griffey as the number one pick, Sean Dunson, Daryl Strawberry, to mention a few. And I thought for sure, because Lou Piniella wanted pitching for the playoff run, that Darren Dreyfuss was major league ready, and I wasn't. Therefore, I thought I was going to be a fallback for the Dodgers. We basically had our deal done with the Dodgers. Fred Clair was the general manager.
Yeah.
And you had that great ownership group that I admired so much. Almost.
Yeah, and that was almost not good enough in baseball. And back then, Jerry, as you know, in 92, the Dodgers had the worst record in baseball that year, lost 99 games. But back then, Major League Baseball alternated who would get the first pick in the draft in leagues. Even if you had the worst overall record, it would alternate. So whoever had the worst record in the American League would get the first pick 1 year, and vice versa the following year. And it was bad luck that year, the American League's worst team got the first pick, and they had first choice for Alex Rodriguez, and the Dodgers were stuck taking Darren Dreyfuss, who was a nice pitcher, but he's not A-Rod, who almost hit 700 home runs in his career.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, just looking back on that Seattle Mariners team, and I know you're talking about the Dodgers and having Alex Rodriguez, and he was definitely a game-changing shortstop, but you imagine having Griffey, Alex Rodriguez, Randy Johnson, and they didn't get a chance to win a World Series, you know? Maybe if they would have stayed longer together, but
I don't care about the Mariners, Jerry. I care about how he was almost part of a team that would
I'm
have had Mike Piazza. He would have been with Mike Piazza, Eric Karros, Pedro Martinez, Oral Hershiser, Raul Mondesi. That's the team that almost happened.
Wasn't Pedro traded the very next year to Montreal?
After the 93 season.
Yeah.
No, but he would have played 1 year with A-Rod. A-Rod would have been drafted.
A-Rod was drafted, and he was in the minor leagues for 2 years.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Wouldn't he have been called up after 1 or 2 years?
No, not at a high school guy. Yeah. I was at the game when Alex Rodriguez hit his first major league home run in Chicago. I think he did it in Chicago, or at least it was one of the first two or three home runs.
Pedro, but he would have been there with Piazza, Mondesi, and Karros. And by the way, Paul Konerko was in the Dodger farm system too, and was traded away for Jeff Shaw a few years later. But the point being is that Alex actually told me after that interview as well that he worked out privately for Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda watched him take batting practice, in fact, threw batting practice to Alex in Miami. And he was so impressed by what he saw, he was telling everybody at the workout, "We got to get this guy." And unfortunately, it didn't work out. There were some rumblings, Jerry, back then that Alex was pulling the Kobe Bryant when Kobe told the Hornets he would never play for them if they kept him. Alex was trying to tell the Mariners he wanted to play for the Dodgers. But it didn't work out that way. So Alex, yeah, almost a Dodger, and history definitely would have been changed if he would have started out his career with the Dodgers, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tommy Lasorda, definitely a new talent. But again, Alex Rodriguez was a no-brainer. You know, definitely had everything you wanted in a prospect, arguably the greatest prospect ever.
Yeah, thanks to Major League Baseball for a backwards rule. Now they got it straight. The worst overall record gets the number one pick like it should be, but a little too late for the Dodgers. Jerry, I think it's too late for you, too. I think this is past your bedtime, so we'll let you go.
It sure is.
We'll check in with you later in the week, okay?
Sounds good, Dave.
There he goes, Jerry Hairston Jr., live from the Sportsnet LA studios. And tomorrow, Clayton Kershaw will be on the mound on the fifth anniversary of his no-hitter. And the Dodgers are celebrating his fifth anniversary of the no-hitter with bobblehead night. Clayton Kershaw no-hitter bobblehead night tomorrow night here at Dodger Stadium. The first 40,000 fans in attendance will receive that Kershaw bobblehead, and Kershaw will be on the mound against Sean Anderson, who is 2-1 with an ERA of 3.97 for the Giants. Morongo Casino, Dodgers on Deck begins at 6 o'clock. First pitch at 7:10. Thanks to Dave Magdaleno back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium, where the Giants defeat the Dodgers tonight 3-2. Have a great night. See ya.